Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Catch it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Brings the boom. And catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns, game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever.
I'm ready for Suns Mavericks tonight, part two this season. Booker versus Luka and everything that comes along with that. Kevin Ray of Valley Sports joining us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Kay, what's going on?
Happy Monday to you, boys.
What's up, Kay?
It does carry a little bit more, doesn't it? When you see Luka either coming to town or in this case going into his building. I know the Mavericks are 11-11. I don't think many people look at them as a title contender or anything, but it's still Luka, and especially with what happened at the end of last year, it just feels like there's a little more of an edge to this game.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can talk, and moreover, you know, players could talk about, oh, it's just another regular season game. But look, let's all be honest with one another. It is not just another regular season game for a variety of reasons. Two of which you mentioned, because you got two of the NBA's top players, two guys who have been, you know, their names attached to early MVP discussions. And look, the one thing that Monty Williams and Devin Booker both touched on, you know, in the last couple of days is, you know, the Suns came here three times last year in the postseason, and all three times they came away with an L. And that has not happened under Monty Williams and with Devin Booker being together. So I think they're looking at this as a way to, you know, to start a new type of historical run here in Dallas, where for the longest time the Suns had been dominant.
So the Mavericks, of course, 2-5 in their last 7K. They've stumbled here a little bit, beat the Warriors, I think, as a matter of fact, and the Knicks in that seven-game stretch right there. Based on what you know, where are they struggling?
You know, I think what you're seeing with this team is, one, defensively, they're still not a great defensive team. And look, for all of Luka's, and this kind of goes back to when you guys were on with when Paulie was sitting in last week, and he asked the question, if you're starting a team, do you start with Luka or Book? And I said Book for a number of reasons, taking nothing away from Luka Doncic. But what you're seeing, I think, now with the Mavericks is Luka is supremely talented. It's just a matter of how is he making his team better. You know, how are the Mavericks getting better? Yes, he's putting up some gaudy numbers, but are you making your team better? And that's why I would take, you know, a Devin Booker in that situation, because he is making his team better. Now, in 3 to 5 years, as Luka gets older, maybe that changes. But that's why I like the way this team is built right now. And I think that's the struggle with the Mavericks, is if Luka is not having a monster night, they don't really stand much of a chance to win. And it's not like they're able to lean and fall back on their defense. And then he's shooting so many shots that guys, I think, just kind of lose kind of touch with the game. And it really creates this interesting and tough dynamic, I think, for Jay Kidd to try to juggle.
Talking to Kevin Ray of Valley Sports. Yeah, Kay, it's, you know, there's a lot of talk of, and it's early, but Luka is one of the MVP favorites, and it feels like that Russell Westbrook year in Oklahoma City a few years ago was 2016 or 2017, where he was MVP, but the team was kind of, you know, up and down. What Luka, it doesn't make a lot of sense because he does distribute the ball. Like, I hear what you're saying. He shoots a ton, too. Is it just the roster around him isn't built right, or is there something we've seen this in the NBA where you have a great player, but it doesn't really translate to anything beyond maybe the first or second round in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's, I think there's still maybe a struggle of how to best utilize all of his skill set and his being Luka's. and at the same time maximize the other pieces you've got around him. And look, taking nothing away, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a terrific player. Spencer Dinwiddie has been a terrific fit with him. But when you look down their bench, there's just not a lot of guys that make you go, oh wow, we've got to you know, concern ourselves with him. Now, Christian Wood was a nice offseason addition. He played really well against the Suns in that first game. I don't know that he's going to be available tonight because he was sidelined against the New York due to COVID protocol. So it's probably unlikely we'll see him tonight. So it in some ways, it kind of feels like a little bit of a mishmash of a roster. And I know they've got a lot of people scratching their heads with the signing of Kemba Walker as a backup guard. And look, taking nothing away from Kemba, but I'm just not sure how he helps you coming off the bench for a team that, you know, has designs like the Suns do of making a deep playoff run.
You know, I know, Kevin, that going into a game, you know, who knows what's going to transpire, who knows what's going to happen, but in regard to DeAndre Ayton and tonight, what are your expectations for DA against the Mavs?
Well, my expectations for DA are tonight what they are and will be every night, which is this is a game, as we talk about their lineup, this is a game that he could and should dominate. I fully expect J. Kidd and the Mavericks to run, you know, blitzes, multiple double teams at Devin Booker, trying to get the ball out of his hands. And because of that, this is not a team in Dallas that has any kind of a rim protector. Now, they've still got JaVale McGee, but JaVale has seen his minutes diminish significantly. Now, will they roll him out there tonight and try to put a handcuff on DA? They can try. But that didn't last very long in the first meeting. So this is a game to me that presents numerous opportunities for DA to hurt them on the offensive end, and they're not a good rebounding team. So this is a game where we could maybe see DA flirt with another 2020 type night.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Kevin Ray of Bally Sports. Okay, just because he did play 21 minutes yesterday, and he was a big part of the run a few years ago, and then obviously he was hurt last year. Dario Saric, I know the game yesterday, you know, it got out of hand quickly, so maybe that skews things a little bit, but we got to see him have 17 points, hit four threes. What do you think, ideally, the Suns would like his role to be by the time we get into the second half of the season and head towards the playoffs?
Yeah, I think... I don't know, Luke, that there will be a truly defined role for Dario, and I know that sounds harsh, but I think that's just the reality of the situation. And in some respects, I think it's, you know, what three or four of the bench guys have got to, you know, live with and contend with. When you're playing on a championship caliber team, some of your roles may not be as clearly defined, with the role only being stay ready. Stay ready because you might have to start three games in a row. Stay ready, but, oh, by the way, you're going to be a DNP four games in a row. I think with Dario, it really is going to be contingent on the health of the other guys in front of him. And that's just the unfortunate, sad reality. But the plus side, guys, is Dario is such a pro and just such a class act. And we've seen he has stayed ready and getting a couple starts, getting some rhythm. I think that he has proven that if you're Monty Williams, you can put him out there and you're not going to be concerned that he's going to hurt you, that he's going to make mistakes. High basketball IQ. But in terms of a super clear role, I just don't know that there will be one if and when this team is at full strength.
So my last question, if you're James Jones, how do you think the campaign experiment has gone?
Well, look, I think you've got to be extremely pleased. Cam didn't have a big game yesterday, but look, didn't need to. But when you consider what he has been able to do, and I thought Monty you know, didn't have to, but Monty went out of his way the other day to just talk about how Cam has done such a great job at getting them into their offense, getting guys set, and just being a more balanced kind of floor general. And I think it's been great for him, and it's certainly been a luxury that we all had hoped that the Suns would have. But, you know, we had this discussion of the offseason guys, that two guys that really needed to step up after disappointing years last year was Cam Payne and Landry Shamet. And I think they have both, to this point, answered the call.
Kevin Ray, great stuff as always, man. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
You got it, boys.